of the hour. For right now, though, let's talk about whether we are entitled to bonuses. I'm laughing because the end of the year is a time when most working employees anticipate their annual bonuses for the year. And we know they're important to employees for a number of reasons, but are employees entitled to them? Let's introduce Adil Patel, who's the national practice head of Cliff Decker Hofmeyr's employment practice. Adil, thank you for your time this morning. Appreciate it. Welcome to Power Talk.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
So, you know, we always make the point and the distinction, Adil, when we talk about employees. First of all, we're lucky, you know, to not be amongst the ranks of those who are unemployed, given as they're such a large portion of our populace. But for those who are employed, what are the basic rules when it comes to bonuses? Is everyone in employ entitled to a bonus?
So I think before answering the question, I'd just like to give you a bit of a historical context.
Yeah.
We used to, prior to 94 and in the old days, employees used to be entitled to 13th and 14th checks. And that they were entitled to as a matter of right. So in their contracts of employment, they used to state that you will be entitled to a 13th check and you may be entitled to a 14th check.
Wow.
And so that was, you received it, you received the 13th check automatically. Didn't depend on your performance, didn't depend on the company's performance. The 14th check was dependent on the company's performance as well as your performance and any other criteria that the company would have thought of. As time went on, employers realized that it was simply unaffordable. They couldn't guarantee a 13th and a 14th check because their pension fund contributions went up and it just exacerbated the cost of employment. So over time, we got rid of this automatic right to a 13th check and we started refining how we pay people bonuses.
Mm.
What we then would have done is we said that the payment of a bonus is within our discretion. And employers at some stage used to willy-nilly say, well, I'm not paying you a bonus. And you ask them why, and they indicated, well, I have the discretion to do so. They did not have to justify why they're not paying you a bonus. Employees then became smarter and started taking these matters to the CCMA, challenging those decisions. And where we are today is, if you tell an employee that they may be entitled to a bonus, and if you do not pay them that bonus, you must be able to justify why you are not paying them. And that has necessitated that employers have some sort of rules regarding what factors they will take into account in not paying an employee a bonus. So in summary, the payment of a bonus is not automatic. You don't have an automatic right to it. So even if your performance is bad, you would get it. Those days are long gone.
Mm.
For employers, you cannot simply rely on the fact that I have the sole and absolute discretion in what I say goes, and therefore I'll never give you a bonus. There's some sort of equilibrium now. So while employees do not have an automatic right, the employers do not have an unfettered discretion as to whether they will pay you a bonus. It needs to be justified. And the payment of a bonus is a very, very powerful tool. So what employers have done on a yearly basis, they have said that if it will depend on your performance, the company's performance, our health and safety record, they can put various objective criteria for which employees and the employer must meet before the payment of a bonus will be paid.
Yeah.
From a enticement of employees, the payment of a bonus and the criteria are very, very powerful tools to secure employment. But what surprises me is that the question that we ask about the payment of a bonus in a country where we have such high unemployment. So the payment of a bonus just still perpetuates or protects the employed against the unemployed. So there's one argument that says that you know, as opposed to paying employees bonuses, use that money to employ more people in an organization. And that's an argument that's been put forward, at least by some academics.
Do you, and this is just a quick sort of, you know, futuristic question, are we going to get to a point in a country like ours where there is so much pressure to create room for more employment and to put money that you would ordinarily put in a bonus through the employment of other, you know, of other employees? Could we get to a point in our country where the bonus would be as extinct as the dinosaurs?
I don't think so, because in order to retain skill, in order to retain employees, especially where there's such competition for skill, I think in certain at certain levels, the bonuses are going to become much larger. I think where there's an abundant amount of skill, I think you may see that companies either get rid of bonuses or reduce the amount of bonuses. So what you're going to potentially have is that those employees who have skill, who are really, really marketable and who employers want, will be paid big bonuses based on certain defined criteria. And where skill is abundant, you may have a reduction in it. Mm-hmm. And so even those employees who historically, the employees whose skill can be easily obtained in the market, those employees, you would see that unlike in the past where they were automatically entitled to a bonus, I think those days are going to come to an end. I can see that happening in the next year or so.
Yeah, well, we know our deal based on, you know, if you look at the travails of Eskom just this last year alone, that not all companies are created equal. We remember the stories from, I think, about July this year when performance bonuses were paid out. I think employees got something like 90K or something like that in a context where there were massive multi-million rand losses for the financial year, the end of this 2017 financial year. So, you know, it's not as if it's a conventional tool that uses all the factors that you said across all organizations equally. What I do want to ask you, though, is whether all companies are created equal, you know, when you look at some of them having freelance staff, contract workers, permanent employees, what kind of differentiating criterion are used across a very different or a compilation of a workforce?
So I think they're just given the mix of employees. So freelance or independent contractors, consultants, those individuals would never be part of a bonus scheme because they're not employees. Any other employee would be part of the bonus pool, whether you're fixed term, part-time, but there would be defined criteria which you would be measured by. So either length of service, qualifications, your contribution to the organization. At one stage, you know, in order to sort out or in order to deal with the increase in health and safety fatalities, some organizations said that we will only pay a bonus if we have no fatalities. And that's why I come to the point that it is a powerful tool to incentivize the correct behavior. And it doesn't matter what sort of employee you are. If you're an employee, you should ideally be part of the bonus scheme, provided you meet the objective criteria. If you're not an employee, you would be excluded from that.
Let's go back to the way these contracts are created. I think what you'd like, perhaps like to say to our listeners and to everyone who is in employment is to look very closely at their contracts so that they can manage their own expectations when it comes to what they you know, plan on receiving from their employers. So it has to be stipulated in their employment contract. So that's on the one side, which I'd like you to share a bit on. But also what happens in a context, and I think you might have touched on it lightly in one of your answers, was when employers have to change the way they pay their bonuses to their employees if they've given a commitment to pay bonuses. For example, if they stagger those payments, do they have to let their employees know?
So I think modern contracts of employment or more recent contracts of employment would have a clause which would simply say you may participate in a bonus scheme. The criteria and the timing of the scheme may be will be changed annually. So what happens is that on an annual basis, you are informed what are the criteria that will be utilized to pay you, what factors will be taken into account, as well as the timing. As a result of that, your only contractual obligation is that you will be able to participate. On an annual basis, the criteria and the timing may change. If, however, your contract gives your contract guarantees the bonus, employers are unable to change that. So if your contract says you will be entitled to a bonus which will be paid on the 1st of December, well, the employer is unable to change that unless they go through a process to amend your contract of employment. So you are correct. In order to determine whether you are automatically entitled to a bonus or whether that bonus is subject to certain defined criteria, you must read your contract of employment and the rules of the bonus scheme, which are usually referenced in the contract of employment, because that will determine whether you're automatically entitled to it or you would have to meet certain criteria before you're entitled to it.
We know that in an uncertain economic climate like ours in South Africa, with its downgrades and so on, an employer and organization can look ahead to the year and imagine that their profitability levels will be historic, or they would be incrementally better than they have been historically, and suddenly they realize that, you know, all is not well. At what point are they legally obliged to let their employees know that the bonus will not be paid?
Well, it depends on the terms of the agreement. So let's take both scenarios. If you automatically entitled to a bonus, which means that the bonus is not subject to certain criteria like company's performance or your performance, which is unlikely in this day and age, the employer, irrespective of its financial obligations or financial circumstances, must honor its contractual obligations. It must deal with its financial downturn through potentially a retrenchment exercise. But it can't use its financial downturn to avert its contractual obligations. If, however, the payment of a bonus is subject to the discretion of the company, and one of the factors would be the company's financial performance, before payment is made or before the alleged due date is made, the company must simply tell you, well, the company hasn't performed according to the standards set, and as a result of that, you will not be paid a bonus at all, or you will be paid a reduced bonus.
And does the employee have to accept that?
Well, employees don't have to accept anything. What they can do is then challenge the decision of the company by referring a dispute to the CCMA. So they can go to the CCMA and they say the employer has committed what is called an unfair labor practice. There is no basis for the employer not to pay me a bonus. These are the factors that the employer needed to satisfy. I am of the view that the criteria was satisfied and they should pay me a bonus. And the employer would then have to come and justify its decision. And that is why I said initially, gone are the days where employers have an unfettered discretion not to pay bonuses. So their decisions are subject to challenge by employees
and scrutiny
at the CCMA. Mm.
And scrutiny. They are subject to scrutiny. I'm sure that a lot of our listeners will have questions on the bonuses. What are your rights? What recourse do you have? Do you have a legitimate expectation of getting a bonus this December? 23 after 10, 0861 987 000. Adil Patel is my guest. On the line, Tool says, Iman, it's a known fact that companies prioritize the maximization of profits and shareholder wealth, but refuse to share those profits with employees. Greed of executives is in the same click. Company didn't perform well. 0861 987 000. Chloe in Tembisa, good morning.
How are you, Iman?
I'm good, and you?
This is a very painful topic because I'm a unionist. Sometimes even myself, I don't even get that kind of bonus. But we're always fighting for workers to get bonus. But now what employer is doing, they do something like they change that contract every day. So they use the discretion. Remember, there is a difference between annual bonus, safety bonus, and performance bonus.
Mm-hmm.
But now, what they do, because what it's painful, you find those company is make 100% profit. They don't give workers bonus, but tomorrow you see them, they're sponsoring other company with 7 million. But on the workers, they say they don't have money. The question is, who must help the workers to get what they believe? And then how can they prove to the workers that indeed they don't have the performance? Because I can tell you, yesterday I acquired a certificate of strike because of annual bonus. The company say, I can't give the bonus, but they donate 6 million out there for something that we don't know, while the workers, they cannot have a dating check.
All right, hold that thought, Claude. That's an important one, Ardiel, where the burden of proof then falls to employees to say, you've said you're not going to give us a bonus, but you are, you know, as you've heard what Claude said, why aren't you passing that money on to us? How empowered are they in this context?
So, as I indicated, it's correct that the employee has an obligation to show that the employer acted unfairly in not paying them their bonus. In order to assist employees to prove their claim, they can ask on the basis of the CCMA rules for the employer to provide them with reasons why they were not paid a bonus. Once the employer has provided the reasons, those reasons can be tested and challenged. So from the caller, if the company is relying on its financial performance for not paying a bonus, evidence will have to be led to show that even if the company has not made a profit, it is still able to pay a bonus because it has sponsored other companies or used its money elsewhere. So I think the law does give employees a right to challenge an employer's decision and to scrutinize it. And in fact, the law is so powerful that employees can ask employers for information in order to justify their decisions.
About their finances. Chloe, I hope that you have heard that and you are going to go that route. Aubrey in Roodepoort, good morning.
Morning. How are you, Iman?
Good, and you?
I'm good. You know, my view is clear about this thing. South Africa, we have a low productivity as a country. And why are business people in business? They are in business because, firstly, they want to make money. Secondly, then they create jobs. So for me, I mean, it makes sense to give bonuses. Remember, the bonus is over and above the normal. It must be at the discretion of the employer. Because it doesn't help us for the unions to fight over this when companies are not making money. Why, if you look at the economy right now, where we are, we should not be even talking about that. We should be talking about keeping the jobs that are there. For me, that is what is important. Not what somebody in the union or some economist says the law can go to court and fight for a bonus. Then if you fight for a bonus, we retrench.
I think there's a bit of both in what you're saying, Aubrey. On the one hand, if a company definitely has profitability and they're channeling that money elsewhere, as Ardiel is saying to us, to the disadvantage of its own employees, and there's certainly a case to be made there, which, as he's advised, you can go to the CCMA on. On the other hand, as you say, you have to be pragmatic about the context in which you work. If the difference between you getting a bonus is not having a job or the company going under, then there would be some quid pro quo that workers would have. Say, okay, we understand why we can't get a bonus, because we'd rather have a job rather than have this once-off payment. So I think it's a mixture of both. Ardiel, would you agree?
I do.
Okay.
So it's not one or the other. I think there needs to be some sort of balance between a demand for a bonus and how it is paid. And I think it all comes down to how you map out the criteria to be paid. And it's just not simply about the financial performance of an organization. It could be the financial performance, your own individual performance. your team's performance. It all depends on what is the behavior which the employer wishes to drive in a particular year. So you're rewarding particular behavior as such.
Okay, thanks for that. Adil, we'll take a few. I think we probably can squeeze in one or two more calls on 0861 987 000. Tumbeto Chinava wants to know, will you kindly ask, how is it possible for a senior manager to get a performance bonus, but his subordinates don't? How did he perform, whereas his subordinates failed?
And this is quite a common theme, depending on, and it all depends on what was the criteria that was developed or utilized in order to determine whether a person is paid a bonus. So some examples are, you could have a team where the manager is rewarded for the team's performance, but one or two individuals are not paid a bonus because they did not contribute to the overall team's performance. So the example that the caller provides is not uncommon, where you could have senior people getting a bonus and one or two other junior members not getting a bonus. It would be, I would be surprised if in a team a senior manager gets a bonus, but no other team members get.
Yeah, because his bonus has been defined by the collective performance.
Correct.
Of the team. It's easy to individualize one or two people that didn't pull their weight, but for the whole team, as you said, that would be completely unusual. I'm going to squeeze in Sean in Greenstone because we're already at the traffic mark. Sean, I know exactly what you're going to say, but go ahead.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I just want to challenge this notion that companies aren't making money. They are making tens of billions of rands every single year. And yet, we always find money for these high-ranking officials. I mean, Maria Ramos took them 50 million rand last year. So this idea that there's no money, but there's money to pay these overpaid people at the top who are already receiving obscene salaries every month, and then we still slap on a couple of tens of millions in bonuses. So it's absolute rubbish and just not the truth that there is no money. There is more than enough money, just not for the hard workers on the ground.
Sean, thanks for that. Adil, I'm going to leave it there with you as well, and thank you very much for being with us. Appreciate your time. Adil Patel is from Cliff Decker Hofmeyr Employment Practice, the national practice.